Well, good morning, church. It's me again. I'm back, just like a bad penny keep turning up. I want to know, truthfully, how many on Friday morning at 9 o'clock saw the snow flurries and said, well, Leonard's back in town. How many saw? Yeah. 65 Thursday. I thought, oh, man, this is great. Landed at 19 degrees and snow flurries. I said, thank you, Grove. I appreciate that. Yeah. This morning, we got a tough message. If you look at your insert there, you see the novel that's in there. And so we got a lot to do, a lot to get through. But I believe in today's society, in today's world we live in, this is one of the most important messages that I have brought in a long time. I think they're all important, but this really answers to the things that are important: truth and love. In John chapter 14, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The words of the movie, you can't handle the truth, comes to mind. And I believe we're living in a day where it may be true that we can't handle the truth. We don't want the truth. At least we see that in the society that we live in. We don't really don't want to hear the truth. Or maybe as Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? In John chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So this morning, we're going to take this journey about truth. Because I really, truly think through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation that the truth needs to be told by the one who created, the one who has written, and the one who leads and guides us of what truth really is. Many times in Paul's words to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul encourages his son in the faith to be very careful of what's going on around him, whether it be in the church or outside the church. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. This morning we're going to look at the truth and to know the truth, to guard the truth, and to walk in the truth. In 2 Timothy 4:3, Paul encourages a young preacher boy, for the time will come when men will not want to put on sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them to a greater number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Is this not the world that we're living in today? That the world is looking just for someone to tickle their ears? Are to go along with what they think or what they believe in their life? Have we heard the term fake news? Yeah, if not, you're living in a cave. In 2 Timothy 4:15, it says, you should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposes our message. And that's the world that we're living in today, that the world is strongly opposing this word here that God has given to us. And we, the church, are the standard bearers for the truth. But I'm afraid that sometimes even in the church, we just don't want to grab hold of what the truth is. The point is clear. What we believe is important. And it is. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy, that what you believe is important, Timothy, but don't let people distort that. Don't let them take away from that. It is essential that we guard the truth and not swerve from left or right. That's a toughie, because that's what I see happening. We find Christians, we find preachers, we find people, we find our political world and our Democrats or Republicans or independents swaying with the crowd, back and forth with the truth. If the truth fits you, then I'll go this way. Whoops, wait a minute, this truth here, I'll go that way. When we need to be standing in the straight and narrow way that God has given to us, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What you believe is critically important. It's very important in your life. To believe the wrong thing could set you apart from God and would therefore send you to hell. So it's important what we believe. It's critically important in today's society, in today's world, of what we believe. The teaching strikes right at the heart of this existential culture today that we live in. Today, the thought is that sincerity is more important than absolute truth. Oh, if you're sincere, it got to be okay. It's really not what you believe. It's that you're true to yourself. Folks, that is a lie from the pit of hell. I hate to say it that way, but that's what it is. This postmodern world of thinking undermines the teaching of God's Word in the Bible. The Bible, and this is going to be a shock to some of you, so I'm glad you're sitting down, never set up man as the central pillar of truth. Nowhere in God's Word does it say, you are the truth. You're the pillar of truth. We see it from the Garden of Eden to today's world that we live in. That position only belongs to God. He's the only one who can give us the pillar of truth. It is not important what you believe. It's important what God says. I had a lot of people talk, and we talk in religion, we talk religion, and you come to a topic that they really not agree with. Yeah, but I believe. I remember an instance where, well, I was at college and preaching in the college in Kentucky, and a friend of ours had come down to spend the weekend and went to church with us on Sunday morning, and she was of another church belief. And as we were driving, and that morning we had talked about baptism, and we had a few immersions that Sunday morning, and as we were driving back Sunday night, and she was kind of questioning some of that, and she'd never been immersed, and said, well, you know, I'm not sure about that. I've been sprinkled, and I think I'm okay, and this. I said, well, it's really not what you think. It's really what does God's Word say. That's what's important. It's not really what you believe if it's contrary to what God says. When I start talking with people about church or religion or the Bible, and they say, yeah, but I believe, I stop it right there. Because I really don't care what you believe. It's what does God say? That's the answer, folks. It isn't what we believe. It's what does God's Word say? I find myself once in a while doing the same thing, questioning and say, well, I believe this. Well, wait a minute, Leonard. Get it back to where, what does God say about it? And a lot of time that changes the whole perspective of things. So what's our task in all of this? Align ourselves with the truth of God. That's what we need to do. Read the Word right here, Genesis or Revelation. Read God's Word. What does it say? What's He telling us? Where do we go with it? And we need to follow God's Word carefully. Timothy is encouraged, and I encourage you today to guard, protect, and obediently follow the truth established by God in the Bible. It's not always easy because we live in a world that's kind of contradictory to that. What did God tell Adam and Eve? You can have everything you want. except don't eat of that tree right there, that beautiful pizza tree in the middle of the garden. Don't eat of that, or you're going to die. Well, the old devil comes by and says, oh, you know, God's not going to kill you. You're the only people left, you know, and look at all that pepperoni and mozzarella flowing down that. Oh, you know, I'm hooked. To the pizza tree I went. To the tree of knowledge of good and evil went Adam and Eve, and they sinned willfully. She was beguiled, Adam sinned willfully. Because they didn't protect, they didn't guard, and they weren't obedient to the God in the Bible. For the reason God was carefully brought us His Word so that we could do that. God set up His people to bring us His Word. The prophets of the Old Testament, the apostles of the New. You see, today we have that full counsel of God. The Word of God in our hands. It is called the Bible. This is the full counsel of God. All 66 books is the counsel of God to us. Why? To give us the roadmap to heaven, that we can spend eternity with Him and take as many people with us as we possibly can. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. He's given us His divine power so that we can have these things, that godliness and our knowledge of Christ and God Himself can be found. And that's why He's given us the full counsel of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, a verse which we all familiar with, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Anybody who would stand up and talk about a new revelation or a new direction of the Holy Spirit is leading us must be considered suspect to the Word of God. The writer of Ecclesiastes said, there's nothing new under the sun. But yet we find in the churches today, in the many places around the world, in our country, in our churches, oh, I have a new revelation. Or I have a new thought that the Spirit can do this. Folks, we need to be careful what we're learning, who we're listening to, and where we're walking. Because many of it isn't the truth of the Bible. Now, some are, but we have to learn to discern that. And the only way we're going to discern that is by knowing God's Word. All of our thinking and teaching must be in concert with the teaching of the Scriptures. If we violate the Bible in any way, we are outside of the will of God, period. End of story. That's it. So we have to be careful. I've studied a lot of the religions of the world. Even Zoroastrianism. Isn't that nice? I never thought when I was in college I'd ever find out what that is. It was about a year after graduation. I was in a town of Seymour, Indiana. And guess what? I found a Zoroastrianist. Whatever they mean. They're out here in the world. I thought, okay. But I never thought I would. But they're out there. There are many people with many thoughts, many religions, trying to say that this is the way to God. And they're not even close to the way to God. God does not think highly of anyone who perverts His truth in any way. I stand here today teaching you about truth. It's going to be accountable to me, every word that comes out of my mouth. God's going to judge me for what I say. So I'm going to be pretty careful not to give you my opinion, but only the Word of God. John encourages us with three major thoughts that I want to put out in front of you. First of all, number one, walk in love. I guess it's A on your sheet. Walk in love. John 2, verse 5 and 6, 2 John 5 and 6 says, And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one that we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this love that we walk in obedience to his commands, as you have heard from the beginning, his command is to what you walk in love. Truth and love, they go together. John moves to make sure that we understand that love also dictates that we walk in truth. In 2 John 4:6, that's what we just talked about. It demands that we walk in the truth. Love is defined by obedience to God and his commands. If we're going to love one another, we've got to do it in the commands of God. We've got to walk in the truth, and that we walk and serve and love each other. We'll talk about that in a little bit also. Number B says, beware of anyone who would pervert the truth. The thing that John writes here, and it's an interesting thing, is that these deceivers came from the church. These deceivers came from the church. In 2 John chapter 7, verses 9 and 7, or 7 to 9, it says, say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person, a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Folks, there's people out here from the churches, there are preachers out here who are trying to deceive us, running away from God, and we get caught up in that, and we leave ourselves. We get caught into it. Example, the Church of Satan, established in Cincinnati, Ohio, by an ex-Baptist preacher. Now, is that kind of diversing the truth of God? Isn't that the opposite of what we should be doing? But somehow he got diverted to the truth. I don't know the whole reason. I don't know why, but I just know it to be a fact. These deceivers, the Antichrist here that we'll talk about in a moment, are possibly part of the fold of the church. I've seen many, well, I shouldn't say many. I've seen some who've been in the church for many, many years, held different positions in the church, begin to fall away and follow after a different God or a different way or falling away from people that don't accept the whole truth, the whole counsel of God. I've seen them leave that, which I never could understand how or why. Through all my life and ups and downs and rounds and throughs, I've never once thought about leaving the Word of God. It's always been the Word of God that's kept me in the fold of what God's will is for me and to knowing the truth. They had most likely grown up under the teachings of the apostles. They had known the fellow believers to whom John wrote, and along the way they turned to the new teachings in the world. They were taken captive by things outside of the fold of truth. They perverted the doctrine of Christ. In this case, they denied Jesus having come in the flesh. People, there's some churches today, or they call themselves churches, who don't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh or that he's coming in the flesh again. If you know him, run. That's the best advice I can give you. You need to run. Because that's the whole thing, that God sent his Son to die, who lived among us. That's the truth of the Bible. If anybody teaches other than that, they're wrong. The teaching of John here in the second epistle is that anyone who teaches anything other than the doctrine and the theology that they received from the apostles is a deceiver, a false teacher, a heretic. and more to deny the teaching as proof that they are not part of God. So do the litmus test. Do they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born in the flesh, lived, died, rose again, and is coming again in the flesh? If they don't believe any or all of that, then get away. They are not from God. In 2 John 9, they do not have God, he says. It is not enough to believe something sincerely. It is wrong. It is wrong, and it can pull you away from God. I have a lot of beliefs and sincerity. I believe if I don't watch what I'm going to do, I'm going to fall off this stage. I believe that. Especially the older I get, my eyes keep getting worse. I believe if I don't take the proper swing, I've lost a golf ball. In the water, in the woods, in the alligator's mouth, wherever it may be. I believe that. Because I've seen it. But I don't believe there's any other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ and Him only. Nothing else matters in this world. No other teaching other than that. John then spends some time teaching us about the Antichrist. In the end times teaching, we have all heard about the one called the Antichrist. Large volumes of books have been written about the one who will rise to the period of tribulation and become the world leader. But it's an interesting fact that this one is really more than one. John uses the word in both the singular and plural text in his writings. And if you read Thessalonians, you can find the same thing also about the Antichrist, meaning there is more than one Antichrist. It's anybody who's against Christ. And even here in 2 John 7, where the word appears in the singular, it's obvious that John is writing in the plural. Listen to this. Anyone, plural, anyone, anyone who does not acknowledge Jesus coming in the flesh is a deceiver and an antichrist. Folks, I've known some antichrists because I've known people who do not believe that Jesus Christ is real, that He didn't come and was born in a manger, that He didn't come and die on the cross, that He didn't raise from the dead, and He's not coming again. These are antichrists. And unfortunately, there are some in our churches today that are trying to preach the same thing. Now, there may be one someday that becomes this antichrist that the world will worship and follow and serve and blah, blah. But he has a bunch of followers, the deceiver and the antichrist. So practically speaking, if we're going to beware of anyone who perverts the truth, then we must know the truth. I'm going to tell you, I think deceivers are and antichrists are. I think the legislature in New York City that says let's kill babies when they're born or kill them the day before and have them be thing, they're the antichrist. Because that's against God's word. It boils my body, as you can begin to tell. I'm turning red and getting hot because I can't understand it. Folks, that's murder. And I think any doctor, any nurse, anybody, the parent that does that needs to be tried for first-degree murder. We're being deceived in this world. People say, no, it's okay. It's not okay. If they know God's word, it's not okay. And I'm telling you now that we've got to stop it. We've got to stand up. We've got to write our politicians. We've got to do something in order to keep this from happening in Ohio. I was totally surprised a few months ago before our governor left office that he wouldn't sign the heartbeat bill. Thank you. So I'm hoping they send it again because our new governor says he'll sign it. If not, we need to start writing. We need to start voting. We need to get these quacks out of there. because it's totally against God's word. And it goes on from California to the governor of Virginia. Someone says, what do you think of that? And I just wrote one word, idiot. To think that we can fool God and murder these little babies is a terrible thing that we're doing. The only foundation for truth is the word of God. And God's word tells us that isn't right. There are a myriad of antichrists in the world today, even in our so-called churches of Christ and Christian churches. Beware. I've seen them. I'm worried about our Bible college. What are they putting out? There's a lack of a lot of ministers coming out of our colleges. Cincinnati Bible University has closed down their seminary because they didn't have enough students. They're almost bankrupt. I don't know if they'll make it through the season or even if they opened up this year. We're losing people to spread the truth. So what does that mean? It means that you and I have a responsibility everywhere we go, every place we are, any table that we're sitting at, to spread the truth of God. If someone's saying, well, I understand that. No, you don't understand it. You can't murder a newborn baby laying on the table, letting you make up a sign if I want it to live or die. You're not God. That's the truth. But it goes far more beyond that. It goes far deeper than that. We see it every day on the news. We see it in the TV. We see it everywhere. The opposition to Christ and His church. I am thankful that our president said he's going to do everything he can to stop these abortions. That's right. I did. I applauded him in the thing. Because I just think that we have a man who maybe he's not the Christian we think he ought to be, but he's standing up for the Christian, he's standing up for God, and he's standing up for the Bible, and that's what we need in our world today. We need people to stand on the truth, the Word of God. God has to judge us all, and He will. But then He warns us, do not be hospitable to anyone who stands in opposition to the truth. Those are tough words. You may have some friends. You may have some family members. But he says, stay away from them. In 2 John verses 10 and 11, it says, if anyone come to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. There are people I don't let in my door. I've walked out of families' homes of members of the family who I felt were just extremists about loving people. It's tough. It's hard. But you have to do it. Yes, as Christians, we are called to be hospitable and to one another. And in fact, Jesus encouraged us to give cups of cold water. Our love and hospitality is to others speaks of our connection to Christ. But I don't think he's talking about just the everyday type of thing. He's talking about those who are heretics, those who pervert the truth, those who are trying to take you away from the Word of God. These are the ones, he says, to stay away from. However, our hospitality ought to have limitations. That's what we have to do. Never show hospitality to anyone who brings false teachings. Say, well, how do I win them to Christ? Make them wish they were a Christian. Wishing that they have what you have. Wishing that they see the life that you live and the things that God has promised you with. When the opportunity comes, then you present the Bible to them. Again, it needs to be said that the members of this church probably knew the people, not this church, but the church that Paul's writing to here, that they knew the people who turned into heretics. and you probably know some too. Our job and responsibility is to turn away. They have gone out from among them. There are some that have gone out among us. I've seen some in almost every church I've ever been in or served in or grew up in. They just get away from the reading and following God's word. John, writing to the end of the first century at this last living apostle, gives clear direction to the church. He leaves clear direction to you and I. The words are short and they're sweet, but they are words that must be heeded. To not do so would potentially lead to destruction and literally eternity in hell. Folks, we have a responsibility. The encouragement to guard our life and dark doctrine closely must be taken seriously by each one of us. I've told you before, there may be a lot of reasons we come to church, and a lot of things may happen. But I'm telling you this, the Word of God is going to be here, and it's going to be preached. It always has, and it always will be. But we have to make sure we got the people who believe it. We got to have elders who believe it. We got to have deacons who believe it. We have to have children's leaders who believe it. It will be preached forever. At least to say this, as long as I'm alive from this pulpit. It is a matter of eternal life and death. God's word says, God will not be mocked. We need to believe it, and we need to quit mocking God. And I believe that's what's going on in Virginia, or in Washington, or in New York, or in California, or in Colorado. People are mocking God, and they will be punished. We think 9/11 was bad. Eyes have not seen what's going to happen to us. God is going to come to the end of his rope. God's going to come to the end of the lies and the foolishness of man. What side are you going to be on? There's three things I want you to know. Know the truth. Know the truth. And the truth is in God's word. Guard the truth with everything that you can. Guard the truth, the doctrines, the teachings that you have. Guard them and protect them. Because there's a lot of smooth talkers out here. Know the truth. Guard the truth. And then, my friends, walk in the truth. That's where we need to go. That's what we need to do. And that's the truth. Father God in heaven, it's a world that we live in that just gets scarier every day. It's a world that we live in, God, that is falling away from the truth of your word. But God, I pray for each and every person here this morning that we stand up, that we guard this truth by having knowledge of it, by reading it, by praying, by studying, by serving you, Father, that the truth, God, will be known to man. And that the truth will set us free from sin and death and lead us to eternal life. God, if there's someone this morning that needs Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if they need to follow him, the truth and repentance and baptism, may that day become today, and confess your name before men so you can confess their name before your Father, his Father in heaven. God, I just pray right now a decision may be made. As we sing this final song, Father, just lead us to those who may want to come and serve you and accept you as their Lord. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.